sports fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. It's Sports Radio 66. WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubinson here with you. An epic match played at Wimbledon on Sunday. And to talk about it, Adam Zagoria writes for Forbes and New York Times, has his own blog, Zag's blog, talks a lot of basketball, college basketball, but also covers tennis. And Adam, welcome to the program.
Lori, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Look, I woke up this morning like a lot of people. I did breakfast at Wimbledon and tuned in. And, you know, it was the longest match by time, you know, in Wimbledon history. It had a lot of elements about it. You wrote an article about all the numbers of it. For all the numbers of this match, what to you is the, if you had to pick one, what's the coolest number that stands out to you about this match?
Well, I mean, look, I think big picture, Lori, there was a lot of history on the line in this match. I mean, obviously, Roger went into it with 20 Grand Slam titles. Novak went into it with 15. Rafael Nadal is in the middle with 18.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and just to go back, you know, briefly, you know, Pete Sampras won the U.S. Open in 2002 and retired shortly thereafter. And at that time, he had 14 Grand Slams. And everybody thought, wow, 14 Grand Slams, that's going to last for a while. And, you know, here we are, not even 20 years later, 16, 17 years later, and there's three dudes with more slams than Pete Sampras has. And they're all competing, you know, for every Grand Slam tournament and for the most majors of all time. So if Roger had won this match and he had two match points that I'm sure he'd like back, you know, he would have gotten to 21. That was some distance between him and Rafa at 18 and would have kept Novak at 15. Instead, Novak wins, and now it's the list is 20-18-16. So, you know, Roger's basically got Rafa and Novak breathing down his neck.
Now, what's interesting, you're referencing back to the Pete Sampras era, and I remember at that time there was the debate, and I think among for a lot of us as tennis fans, a sense that, you know, Pete Sampras might have been, when he retired, a consideration. Is he the greatest player of all time? Or there are others who might have said it was Rod Laver or, you know, others from other eras. And yet here we are right now, and forget Pete Sampras. What we're seeing with these three guys who not only have the most majors of all time, but in doing it against each other, they all can, you know, are continuously costing each other majors. You know, what is this like? You know, I think back to, you know, there are books written about it and the story of, you know, Martina Navratilova and Chris Everett. We talked about the rivalry, and that was two women playing against each other at the top of their game. But here we've got three guys. Is there anything that's even comparable to this?
You know, Brad Gilbert the other day said on one of the Wimbledon broadcasts, you know, this would be the equivalent of Michael Jordan, LeBron, and, you know, whoever your third person you want to be, Will Chamberlain or Bill Russell, you know, all playing at the same time in the NBA, the three greatest players of all time, and, you know, divvying up NBA championships year after year. You know, it's really amazing. These guys have won, you know, just to throw some more numbers that are kind of mind-boggling, they've won 54 of the last 65 Grand Slam tournaments, going back to Wimbledon in 03, right? So all the other men on the tour have combined to win 11 during that time, with Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka winning three, and these guys have won 54, including the last 11 in a row. And then you know, compare that with the women. I think in the last 11 women's majors, I believe nine different women have won. So it's, you know, it's really sort of diversified and spread out with the women. Obviously, Serena is still stuck on 23, trying to get 24. But these same three dudes are, you know, competing for every major. And, you know, another fascinating thing, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the McEnroe-Borg.
Yeah, me too. I had a poster of you know, Bjorn Borg above my bunk at summer camp.
Yeah, I was a big McEnroe guy. You know, I think people of our age remember that. And they played in, you know, what for many people was the greatest final for a long time, was that 1980 final. And then, you know, Borg retired at 25, and they were both sort of done by their mid-20s winning majors. And I think John Wertheim from Sports Illustrated tweeted, you know, the Federer-Nadal semifinal on Friday would be the equivalent of McEnroe and Borg playing in the semis like in 1991, you know, 11 years after their final, and then the winner of that having to play Boris Becker or Stefan Edberg in the final. So, you know, that just kind of gives you a sense of how long these guys have dominated.
Talking to Adam Zagoria about the epic Wimbledon finals and its place in history. And you mentioned earlier the, you know, Roger Federer go, you know, trying to extend his record of most men's majors, had had two match points. And, yep. You know, it was, you know, what was it? I was talking to an earlier caller. I think it was about 8-7 in the fifth set. Had two match points, and Federer, with an entire stadium almost seemingly rooting against him, comes back. Djokovic comes back in that situation, not only wins that game, but ultimately the match. And, you know, it's such an interesting thing with Djokovic because he, on the one hand, can have nine double faults. But what does it say about his mental toughness that in the three tiebreakers, in the three tiebreaks, there he was playing almost perfect tennis?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, Roger kind of played it as cool as he could in his interview after that match. But I think if you sat him down, he'd really like to have those two match points back. I mean, he was serving at 40-15, you know, 8-7, 40-15, and you got to think he's going to get one of those points on his serve. He didn't really seem to go as big as he could have on those serves. He ended up hitting, you know, one of the forehands, a forehand wide on the first one, and then he came to net on sort of a mediocre passing, you know, approach shot, and Novak passed him at the net. You know, and you know, that was kind of it right there. That was his chance. Now, that said, Roger did fight back mentally after that and continued to hold serve until 12 all. But look, you know, to kind of take a step back, big picture on Novak, you know, it's a great barroom debate. Who's the GOAT? Is it Roger? Is it Rafa? Is it Novak? Novak has a winning record against all three of the other members of the Big Three, you know, or Big Four, Andy Murray, Roger, and Rafa.
But he's also 5 years younger. And, you know, so there's that element of, on the one hand, you know, do you just go with the head-to-heads when you're talking about somebody who, you know, well, I marvel at the fitness still and the level of play of Roger Federer, but at his age, you as you rightfully say in your article, he's about to turn 38.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, it's a great, I mean, you could sit around for hours in a bar and have this debate, I think, and make an argument for each guy. I mean, look, Federer is still number one all time, most majors. He's been number one in the world more weeks than both those guys. He's won more overall tournaments than both those guys. He's at 102 titles. Jimmy Connors was 109. But that said, he also has a losing record to both Rafa and Novak. And it, you know, it doesn't seem like that's, you know, he's certainly not going to overcome his record against Rafa. So, you know, it's just so fascinating. It's also, it seems like Roger is going to keep playing for a few more years, at least in part because he knows these guys are breathing down his neck with the majors. And, you know, Novak is 32, and, you know, who's to say he's not going to win four or five majors in the next couple of years?
Yeah, talking to Adam Zagoria about this Wimbledon classic, about the players that we're watching and the era and the appreciation of it. You know, I was saying earlier on the show that somewhere in London right now, I would almost guarantee that Roger Federer is lying in bed and staring up at the ceiling. And and that, you know, as you said, he wants to replay that, you know, being up and having the opportunity to serve for it there and letting it slip away. Yet the quality of tennis is still impeccable in Federer and what he's able to achieve. Where do you stand in terms of Federer and his ability? I know a few years ago we felt like, well, he can't win another major. But at this point, you know, I don't know. Do you feel like he can still, can he still continue to win majors at this age?
Well, look, it's a great question. Eventually, you know, the stands are going to run out for both Roger and Serena. You know, they're both almost 38. It's what they're doing is really unprecedented in the tennis world. And at some point, the stands and the clock are going to run out. Now, that said, people have been saying that about Roger since 2008 or 2009. You know, he won five Wimbledons in a row from 03 to 07. Then he lost to Rafa in that final in 08 and was very close with Andy Roddick in 09. And back then, people were saying he's done, he's done. I think he's going to continue to have a chance at Wimbledon, you know, I would say at least for the next, you know, year or two, just like Rafa is going to be the favorite at the French. You know, Roger's got a chance at Wimbledon every year. He takes great care of himself. The way he plays is not too physically demanding on his body. That said, you know, Novak is just so tough for him. I mean, to win a point against Novak, you have to win it three times because he gets everything back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, had Roger converted those match points, he would have beaten Nadal and Djokovic back-to-back in 3 days, and I think people would have said, wow, this is his greatest accomplishment ever. But like we said at the beginning, he's just going against, you know, two of the greatest players ever.
And in Djokovic, you know, one of the other startling numbers, I wasn't sure which one you would pick, but the fact that against these guys and in this era, Djokovic has won, what, now 4 out of the last 5 majors?
Yep.
And yeah. So, you know, when you think of it and put it in that perspective, is, you know, Djokovic in a few years absolutely could overtake these guys. I think also, though, it's also interesting to me the comments that they have about each other and how respectful and deferential in some ways they are to each other. And that's another interesting aspect of this rivalry, is I think, compared to others.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there's any love lost there between Novak and Roger. I don't think they're going out for beers after the match. You know, it's not quite like Nick Kyrgios, who's openly, you know, insulting Rafa and Novak and sort of rooting against them. Whereas, you know, I think Roger and Rafa really have a deep respect and admiration for each other, you know, kind of like McEnroe and Borg had. But, you know, there's no question that really all three guys have taking the sport to a new level. They're all very professional. They're just highly impressive people. You go to their press conferences and, you know, they're giving press conferences in multiple languages.
You know,
Roger speaks in English and
German
French
and Spanish.
Yeah.
I think he speaks at least 4, and Novak is something like that as well.
Yeah. So they're just all very highly impressive people. And I think, you know, I'd like to think people who aren't tennis fans are appreciating this golden age because it's going to end at some point, and hopefully it goes on for another few years.
Yeah, and the likes of which we may not see again in our lifetime. All right. Zags, appreciate it. Really appreciate you joining, and thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sure. Anytime you want to talk tennis, I'm ready.